Our text is found in Hebrews 11:11 and Lamentations 3:23. Hebrews 11:11. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Great is thy faithfulness. Lamentations 3:23. Here was Sarah, a child of the living God, who believed the promise that God had made to her that she would be delivered of a child, the child of promise. In the face of all opposition, in the face of every contradiction, in the face of every doubt and fear, in the face of every impossibility, humanly speaking, she believed the promise of God and counted him faithful who had promised. In the face of every human impossibility, she tested the faithfulness of God to do what he had said he would do, and that was to strengthen her womb, that she would conceive seed and bear a child in her old age who would be heir of the promise. Yes, the child of promise. Her God, the God of the Bible, did not fail her. God is faithful. In Deuteronomy 7:9, we find these words, "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God." In 2 Timothy 2:13, we read, "If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself." In Psalms 89:8, we also read, "O Lord of hosts, who is a strong God like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee?" Then it was prophesied of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in Isaiah 11:5. "Righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, the faithfulness the girdle of his reins." So we see from the Scripture that faithfulness is essential to God's being. Without this great attribute, he could not and would not be God. In other words, for God to be unfaithful would be for him to act contrary to his nature, and that is impossible. God is faithful. Great is thy faithfulness. Over against the faithfulness of God, we see today the unfaithfulness of man. As someone has said, unfaithfulness is one of the most outstanding sins of these evil days. Take the business world, for instance. With very few exceptions, a man's word is no longer his bond. When I grew up as a boy out of the old country district, a man's word was counted as his bond. I remember there were some men and women who especially stood out in our community because of their faithfulness. If they promised you, it was as good as gold. You could depend on their word. I thought it was, to me, my grandfather and my father was in that class, and one day I needed $5. I was going to finish high school, and I walked up to the bank and asked him to lend me $5 for 30 days. And he said, "Who's going to endorse your note?" I said, "Is my word enough for it?" And finally, I said, "Well, I thought you'd lend money, and I'll pay you back in 30 days. Isn't that enough?" He said, "Whose boy are you?" I said, "I'm M.T. Shelton's boy." "Oh, well, if you don't pay it, he will." Well, that stuck with me through the years and has made me be honest with people in paying my debts or obligations. But not so in the business world today. It is a rare exception to find a man in the business world today whose word is his bond. It seems that the motto of the business world today is, make money. Make it honest if you can. If you can't, make money. Then in the social world, the sacred bonds of wedlock are being broken with so little regard as the discarding of an old garment. Homes everywhere are broken because men have no word. It seems to be a virtue today to lie, to be untruthful and unfaithful. And they're teaching. There are preachers and churches teaching that It's not a sin to lie and tell untruth. Now that goes along with the living today. The whole social world is a camouflage, lived under a pretense. In other words, men and women live a lie. They pretend to be that which they're not. There is the put-on, the makeup, the camouflage, and make-believe, and the unreal passed off as the real. Very seldom do you see folks in the social world be what they are before a person can be saved. All of that pretension, cover-up, and unreal must go, and the individual must be brought to the place of reality. Face facts as they are. In reality, the other only person that you can trust is one who, under Holy Spirit conviction, has been brought to face the real facts of life and give up all pretensions, who has been stripped of all camouflage and been made honest in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now that's true. Don't pretend to be what they are not in putting over their scheme undercover. Let's take one other illustration of the unfaithfulness of man, and that is in the realm of religion. There are thousands of men who have solemnly promised at the ordination altar to preach the truth of God's Word without compromise. But on every hand, preachers have no scruples in attacking or denying the truth of God's Word and preaching their own opinions and ideas. What unfaithfulness in the realm of religion! Unfaithful to the God they say they serve. Unfaithful to the Word which they promise to preach and teach. Unfaithful to the souls of men who look to them for salvation. And what an awful day it'll be when they wake up in hell with their congregation. Your gospel preacher cannot claim complete immunity from this fearful scene. One of the hardest things in the world is to be faithful to our Lord Jesus Christ and true to the souls of men. Day by day, my constant confession, Lord, take my life and make it what you want it to be. Our heart all but sinks within us when we recall how we've been unfaithful to Christ and to the great privileges and opportunities which God has entrusted to us. But over against the unfaithfulness of man, and above the awful scene of ruin, we behold a faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, the great Amen. Yes, it is refreshing in this dark hour to know that the Lord Jesus Christ is faithful and is the faithful witness. We can trust Him. For 3 days, I've been, that text has been rolling over my heart and mind, the faithfulness of God. The faithfulness of God. And regarding His promise, there are some problems I've been facing. But as I've rolled over in my heart and mind, this text, the faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, and how it has illuminated my entire being. According to Psalms 36:5, thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness under the clouds. And every believer can exclaim, his compassion fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. God never forgets. God never fails. God never falters. God never forfeits His Word. Every promise in His Word, every prophetic utterance in His Word, He will make good. God is not a man that He should lie, neither a son of man that He should repent. Hath He said, and shall He not do it? Or hath He spoken, and shall He not make it good? Yes, in these dark hours, we can rely upon God's unbroken Word and upon His faithfulness for our own. For our God cannot lie. Sitter, Your heart's longing for Christ. Remember that you can rest upon those promises. God can't lie. He's faithful. He'll bring to pass what He has spoken. Now let's look at some illustrations of the word set forth in God's about God's faithfulness. The first one we call your attention to is found in Genesis 8:22, where God said to Noah, "While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease." We see that every year which comes and goes furnishes us a fresh witness to God's fulfillment of this promise. There comes the spring, the planting, then the harvest. There is the summer heat, the cold winter nights. The day cometh, then the night shades fall fast around us. The sun rises, and then the twilight falls. This all speaks of God's faithfulness to the sons of men. I cannot understand how anyone with a grain of sense can deny that God, that there is a God, and call Him unfaithful. Let's take another illustration. If you turn to the 15th chapter of Genesis, you'll find that God said to Abraham, "Thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them." Then Jehovah God went on to say, "But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again." Time went on, and we see Jacob with 70 souls moved into Egypt during that awful famine. God blessed them, but ultimately we see them under the slaves of a mighty foreign power. No doubt they had begun to believe that God had forgotten His promise, but such was not the case. Because in the 12th chapter of Exodus and the 41st verse, we find these words. Listen, listen, holy seed. And it came to pass at the end of 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the host of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. On the exact day, exact hour, the exact minute that God said for years and years, for hundreds of years, that would be so, He brought it to pass. No one could understand how He could do it. God never forgets a promise. The omnipotent God is able to bring every promise to pass. Never a promise in God's Word has been broken, and never will be broken. Saint and sinner can rely upon these promises without any fear of them ever being broken. God will perform it because He declared it. Our God is faithful. Great is Thy faithfulness, because He's on the throne. He's omnipotent and cannot lie. That's right. I know that's so. Now let's take another illustration. In Isaiah 7:14, we find these words, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Centuries roll by. Time almost turned gray with old age. Men's hearts began to fail them. But the saints of God, relying upon His unbroken promise, look for the consolation of Israel. So according to Galatians 4:4, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman. And the shepherds out on the hills heard the angels singing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men." The wise men in the east saw a star and made their way to the cradle of the Holy One. Yes, the God of the Bible is a faithful God. His word cannot be broken. The promise cannot be set aside. Every awakened sinner, listen, awakened sinner, can rest upon the promise of God's word, knowing that it cannot be broken, and God will verify His promise under every circumstance. He will. He does it. He's never failed. study the death of Christ on the cross and every promise that was made regarding his death on the cross was fulfilled. Listen, awakened sinner, salvation is for you, for those crippled in sin, for those loathsome with the leprosy of sin, for those impure with the harlotry of sin, for those dead in trespasses and sins. Why should you despair with a faithful God on the throne? I found this little poem. Listen to it. That night, when in the Judean skies the mystic star dispensed its light, a blind man moved in his sleep and dreamed that he had sight. That night, when shepherds heard the song of hosts of angels choiring near, a deaf man stirred in slumber sleep and dreamed that he could hear. That night, when in the cattle stall slept child and mother cheek by jaw, a cripple turned his twisted limbs and dreamed that he was whole. That night, when o'er the newborn babe the tender Mary rose to lean, a loathsome leper smiled in sleep and dreamed that he was clean. That night, when to the mother's breast the little king was held secure, a harlot slept a happy sleep and dreamed that she was pure. That night, when in the manger lay the sanctified who came to save, a man moved in the sleep of death and dreamed there was no grave. But my friend, there the promises of God are not a dream. They're realities, and you can rely on them. Sinner, wake up and find that you can believe and rest upon them until God secures you. My awakened sinner, the God of the Bible who's on the throne, Jehovah Jesus, can make salvation real to your heart, and it will not be a dream because he is faithful who hath promised. Let's quote again our text, Hebrews 11:11. Through faith also Sarah herself received seed to conceive, received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Great is thy faithfulness. One day God said to Abraham and to Sarah, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. God spoke it, Sarah believed it, she judged in faith who had promised. She could not be shaken off that word. She could not be moved off his word. God is true. His word of promise is sure. God is faithful to his people and to every awakened sinner. You can rely upon that. Let me say, you can stake the destiny of your eternal soul upon it. Let me say this, with all the emphasis of my soul, no individual saint or sinner has ever really trusted God in vain. My friend, the faithfulness of God is the basis of our confidence in him. Now let me say, it is one thing to accept the truth of the faithfulness of God, but on the other hand, it is quite another thing to act upon it. Awakened sinner, you may sit there and say that God is faithful and go to hell, but act upon it. Someone said to an old colored man one day, Uncle Mose, what do you mean by trusting the Word of God, believing the Word of God? And his reply was, sir, it means falling flat on them and resting there. The Apostle Peter said, he has given us exceeding great and precious promises. They're great. They're exceeding great. They're precious. But are we really counting on his fulfillment of them? Listen, sinner, you have been awakened to the fact that you're lost. Are you counting upon God to save you? Are you really relying upon him to fulfill his word? I know resting upon the promise isn't salvation, but resting upon the promise brings you to salvation. Are you really expecting God to do what you for you all that he said he would do? Remember Hebrews 10:23 says, he's faithful that promised. Let me say to you, to every saint out there in radio land, let me say to every born-again believer who's listening to me at this moment, are you living by the promises of God? Are you living by your own fears and doubts? Are you resting upon His unbroken word? Are you resting upon your opinion? That is all I have to live by. The God of the Bible, whom I know and who knows me, has taught me and learned me and led me to trust Him first for salvation. And God did not turn me down. Secondly, He led me slowly but surely to rest upon everything, to rest everything in His hands, and to trust Him for every detail of life, for every need. His word is true and cannot be broken. And we can satisfy and we can safely rely upon every word written. Therefore, we can move among the enemy in the hours when the storm clouds hang low, in the hours when adversities come back thick and fast, in the hours of sunshine, in the hours of shadows, in the hours of plenty, in the hours of want, to walk with Him and rely upon His word to the nth degree, and He'll never let us down. My life is just one continual confession and desire to walk with in His will, to rest upon His word as a little child, and to believe Him as a little child, because He's faithful, that promise. Take this radio ministry with the many stations we're on and all the other mission work connected with it. Every minute which goes by cost us hundreds of dollars to get the message out. I have learned to trust Him. We've come up to the last penny and no meal in the barrel, and I've had to trust Him. Sit right there and trust Him. Sit right there and trust Him. I knew His promises are true, and I could trust Him. Can you? Can you trust Him for every need? I know there are times and seasons in the lives of all of us when it's not easy to believe that God is faithful. My faith has been severely tried. So is the faith of every born-again believer and the faith of every awakened sinner. Our eyes become dim with tears, and it is hard to trace the outworkings of His love and to realize at all times that God loves us. So many times our ears are harassed with the noise of the world and by the blasphemous whispers of Satan, which God seems to have withdrawn the comforts of grace from us, until we can no longer hear His still, small voice. The dark clouds hang over us. Our best friends seem to forsake us. All of our plans seem to have caved under, and friends on whom we relied have failed us. Someone whom we thought was a brother or sister in Christ has betrayed us. Under all this load of disappointment, we are made to stagger as the clouds become darker and hide His face from us. Yes, I know in hours like this it seems difficult to trust Him. But look up, brother, and say that God is faithful. Look up, God is faithful. Great is Thy faithfulness. If I speak to such a faltering, severely tried, born-again believer at this time, let me read to you Isaiah 50:10. Listen to God's unbroken word. Listen. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of His servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the Lord, the name of the Lord, and stay upon His God. I'll grant you, fellow pilgrim, there are times when you cannot harmonize God's mysterious dealings with His love and His faithfulness.
This brings to the close another broadcast. Again, the title of the message was The Faithfulness of God, and it's number 412. May the Lord's richest blessings rest upon you. This is the Voice of Truth broadcast.